You have forgotten it's Christmas. I say Merry Christmas, everybody. Christmas is this week. Christmas is this week. Wednesday is Christmas, and Wednesday we have a service here by 11 a.m. You would do well to be in the service because when we are talking of Christmas, it's Jesus' birthday. So we celebrate it in his house. We start with celebrating it right here in the church. And if there's any group of people who would be very passionate about celebrating Jesus, it is Christians. Don't worry about people who are extremely religious, fighting over whether 25th December is the day. Who cares about it? What is important is on a particular day, Jesus was what? Born. It gives you, a Christian and me, tremendous opportunity to share Jesus Christ to the world. It opens a door. It's free advertisement. You don't pay for this one. You know, so anybody wanting to shut down Christmas is coming from a strange world. We need it. That's an opportunity you talk to your friends about Jesus Christ. Evangelism made is, how can we give it up? No, we do Christmas. Amen? I say we do Christmas. This morning, I want to talk to us about something very interesting. You know, I get so encouraged when the Lord starts speaking to individuals about what we preach here. And then they come and say, God was telling me exactly the same thing. Let me give you, read this. This is from my big boss. Peter Bonanno and Lisa Bonanno. I think they're Italians. Bonanno. The district, our boss here. He says, he sent me this thing this morning. He said, how great is the Father's love towards us? The Sunday before Christmas may we grasp the depth of his love demonstrated by God sending his son not to condemn but to save us. I'm praying that like waves crashed to the seas. Okay, yeah. Iman, thank you so much. As waves crash to the seashore, one after our other, there will be a tangible presence of his love more and more in your worship, preaching it and in your community. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. What have we been preaching this season? The love of God. Children from ages 7 to 9, please go up there. Please, all the adults there, can you come down? Let the children have their seats. 7 to 9 by my left. Then 10 to 12 by my right. You go up through these stairs. Go up through these stairs. Adults, please, can you give them their seat? Come down here. There's a seat for you here. All the children, 7 to 9, go by my left. And then 10 to 12, go by my right. Then the adults, please, allow them. If you want to compress your age, you wait till next Sunday. But right now, 7 to 9, please, children, workers, help us make sure they go there. 7 to 9, up there, that's where you go. And then 10 to 12, this is where you go. 10 to 12, this is where you go. Upstairs there. Praise the Lord. So this morning, you know, I'm so confident that we're preaching on the right topic because my topic this morning, and my guy didn't even know, is controlled by the love of God. Controlled by the love of God. Let's say it together. I want us to say it louder, please. Can we say it one more time? Controlled by the love of God. Paul was talking in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. And then this is New Living Translation. It says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Either way, no matter what we do, Christ's love controls us. We started to say last Sunday that the object of the teaching of the Bible is to know Christ, to believe in Jesus, but it brings us a revelation of the love of God. It brings us a revelation of the love of God. That's what my boss was saying, that this love is revealed by God sending his son and for what Jesus did for us on the cross. So the teaching, Paul said, the object of all my teaching is to bring you into a revelation of the love of God so that the love of God will take charge of your life. So he said in 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, whereas the object and purpose of our instruction, the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is what? It's love. The object and purpose of what I'm teaching you is love. He said, which springs from a pure heart and a good, clear conscience and sincere, unfeigned faith. Then he said something there. He said, but certain individuals have missed this mark on this very matter. Missed it all. And have wandered away into vain arguments and discussions and purposeless talks. So when you miss the main point of what God is bringing to you, you are going to wander into useless things that God is not interested in. And so we know that our Lord Jesus, when he came, he affirmed what the prophets wrote, that the most important thing, there is nothing greater than this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. With what? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he says, no other commandment is greater than this. Nothing supersedes this in the program of God. And that's why Paul said, all I'm teaching you is to bring you to a place where you know God's love and you are controlled by it. Why you know God's love and you are controlled by it. And remember, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that you can do whatever you want to do. If there is no love in it, in the eyes of God, that thing is zero. It's worth nothing. And I'll read it for you. It says that if I could, 1 Corinthians 13, I'm reading from verse 1. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could even move mountains, do such miracles that the whole world is coming, crowd is pouring, do those kind of move mountains, but didn't love others, the Holy Spirit said, I will be nothing. Still be what? Nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. May you see why the Holy Spirit is saying the object of my teaching is to bring you to a place where you do things that God is interested in, where we are controlled by the love of God. You know, you can love religion. You can love night vigils, can love fasting, can love prayer, may not love God. Doesn't mean you love God. Because I said it on Thursday, the Jews were so zealous. One of them was Zealot. His name was what? Zealot. And Jesus said, people are so zealous. He said, you traverse mountains and make people disciples, but at the end of the day, you make them disciples of Satan. And Paul talked about them. These people have the zeal for God, but they don't know God. They don't love God, nothing. They were doing it for themselves. You could be a very zealous Christian, praying all the time. You want to know if you really love God? Take your prayer topic. It's easy to check. And see what bothers you, what makes you sleepless. Is it everything about you or is it everything about God? Very simple to test. Take your prayer topic and check it. If all your prayer is you and you, you don't love God, nothing, zero. Forget it. You don't. Say, who said that? The Bible. I didn't say so. The Bible. Praise the Lord. This is slow. I said, praise the Lord. Take your prayer topic, your prayer list every day, bombarding God, kneeling, praying 5 hours, 10 hours. Which of them is about Jesus and his walk and his kingdom? Which of them? You go read the Bible and see the prayer of the saints that went before us. They focused on Christ and his work. They focused on the body of Christ. They focused on the kingdom expanding. They focused on the work of God. Their whole love for Jesus. Compare with us. Compare with us. And then Jesus told us that In 1 John 4:8, it says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. Can you put it up one more time? He that loveth not, what? I didn't hear you. He that loveth not, what? I didn't hear you. He that loveth not, what? Knoweth not God. For, he said, if you don't love, you're not a Christian. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say so. You see why the Paul said, the purpose of my teaching is to bring you to where you love. Because that's what God wants us to be, wants us to be doing. And then Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. When you pray a lot. When you do what? Love one another. Everything is going down to that single thing that Paul said, the purpose of my instruction is love. So if we have received the nature of God, if we have received the nature of God, and God is love, if we really have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and Jesus is the embodiment and the manifestation of the grace of God, the love of God, if you have received this life, is it not a natural thing that the thing that will come out of me and you is that same love that God has poured into our lives? Is it not simple what Jesus is saying? That when you pour out of me a vessel and out of you a vessel, and they see love, they know you are my disciples. Is it not the same love that I love you and you love me with, that I will love God with? Is it not the same way I love you, I love God with, the same love of God? And Jesus said, you know, when he fed the thousands with food, with fish and bread, they followed him everywhere. I mean, they came in crowds. Watch 2020, 2019. They come in crowds looking for miracles. They come in crowds. So they followed Jesus everywhere. He went on boat and they went after him. They said, when they find themselves, if you know how much we've been looking for it, Jesus said, you know why you're looking for me? It's for bread. You see, I didn't write, it's there. He said, you know why you're looking for me? Because I gave you bread the other day. They said, yes, after all, Moses gave us bread, so is it wrong? It's in your Bible. They said, Moses gave our fathers what? Bread. Since you are a prophet, give us bread again now. And Jesus said to them, the bread that God is giving is he that came from heaven. He said, the bread Moses gave you will not give you life. He said, my father gave you that bread, not Moses. But that bread will not give you life. He said, that was a show. It's something to show you there is someone coming from heaven. He's the bread of life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Then he told them something very instructive. He said, never follow me for these things that perish. Don't follow me about miracles. You get miracles from me. You devil is pushing you 24 hours, binding and losing fire, fire. Don't call fire here, my friend. We don't need fire brigade. Fire, 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 fire. You call fire yesterday, you call fire today. The same devil you are pushing since January, you are still pushing him. What is wrong? Either he's stronger than you, or you don't know what you are doing. He warned us. He said, don't follow me for things that perish. Don't do that. Don't follow me for things that perish. Don't come crowding in because you want miracles, you want bread, you want this from me. That is not, that's not the love of God. The love of God is not selfish. But he said that the thing that will motivate you to follow me is that you love me. Is that you love me. There is nothing more powerful than an action motivated by love. That's what comes from your... And then he told, look at Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me, including me, including you, we say we came to Jesus, we say we go to church, we go to night vigil, we go to fellowship, we do all those kind of things. If you ever come to me at any point in your life, if you come to me and hate not your father and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, and yea, his own life, what? Also, he cannot be my disciple. It's an emphatic statement. You cannot follow me. It's not possible. It's not going to work. What Jesus is saying is, you have to give me all your love. There can't be anything competing for me in your heart. Because what you love will exalt that thing above Jesus. It is the love we have for Jesus that makes Jesus the treasure of your life. It's the love you have for him that gives him the primary position in your life. Nothing else places him there except you love him. It's what you love you serve. And the Bible says you can't love two masters. You must hate one and love. Jesus said you can't love me and anything else. You got to love me with all your heart, exactly like God said, all your heart, all your mind and everything. The purpose of our teaching, Paul said, is to make you love. Praise the Lord. Look at what love does. Genesis 29, 18. Genesis 29, 18. And Jacob did what? I want you to say it loud. And Jacob what? Loved Rachel. It's not Rachel. It's Rachel. Rachel. Caller, did you say Rachel? Ebada. Rachel. Call and I was saying caller loved Alira. No, that's what I'm saying. I said Jacob loved. Everybody kept quiet. Don't worry, I'm just pulling your leg. I'm just pulling your leg. I wanted you to relax a little bit. It's becoming hard, so I want to relax you a little bit. Praise the Lord. Jacob loved who? Rachel. And said, I will serve thee, how many years? 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Then what else? And Jacob served 7 years for who? Rachel. And what happened? They seemed unto him better suited for the love he had for her. That's what God says. Love is the thing that will motivate you to follow Jesus and face all challenges, discouragements, whatever they will seem to you like nothing. If you don't love Jesus, you can't be his disciple. The devil will throw things in your way. You're not going to follow Jesus without facing challenges, trials. He told us in the world you will have tribulation. Brethren, it's natural. The Bible said, don't count it strange when you fall into diverse temptations. Things will happen. This is an imperfect world. The devil is right here. Check out where we are in America. Now, corporate America has this in-depth hatred for Christianity. I see now what the Bible said. I see where it's heading. I've now begun to see the foundation that time will come except you denounce your faith, you can't buy anything. It's gradually come. They can't advertise if they know you with Christ, they won't advertise in what they do. Gradually it's going now. You think I'm joking. Go to corporate America and tell them you're a Christian tell your bosses you're a Christian. Within 1 year, you won't be working there. Because they think you're a fool. I'm not kidding you. Thing is really great. And now they are putting chips in people to monitor you under your skin. The Bible told us these things will happen. If you never believed in the Bible, please believe now. Everything the Bible said is gradually coming together. He said you won't buy, you won't do anything. It's happening now. If you don't want to do jiruditi, let me tell you how to, they will leave you alone. Tell them you're a Christian, you believe in the Bible. The lawyers will tell you to what? Go. Your jury duty is over. You don't have to talk too much. Once you tell them, do you believe in the Bible? Yes, the Bible guides me. No more. All the lawyers will say, sir, please go. No jury duty for you. It's done. So the only thing that will make you follow Jesus Christ, because persecutions are coming. Is there any Christian who doesn't face challenges? Man, it could be health issues, it could be financial issues, it could be marital issues. In the world, you shall have tribulations. Unless you love Jesus, these things will amount to so much for you and discourage you and stop you from following him. Because he knows that trials will come. He knows temptations will come. He knows that everybody who wants to walk righteously in this world will be persecuted. He knows your flesh will persecute you. He knows the devil will fight you. He knows he will fight your faith. He knows he will try to mock your faith. But love overcometh all things. He loved Rachel. He says 7 years is nothing. Remember he said seven. For this same girl. And when the father-in-law gave him the wrong girl, he said, I'm ready to serve. And the Bible said it means nothing to him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul. Otherwise, you can't follow Jesus. You cut corners. You begin to cut corners. You begin to find easier way out. Look at Hebrews 10. 32. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. He said, remember what this book of Revelation says. He said, go back to your first what? Love. He said, you've backslidden. You're gone. And because of that mindset, brethren, because of that mindset, they became lukewarm. And exactly what Jesus is saying. He said, look, if you love yourself and these things, they compete with me now. They say, oh, we are rich now because we are rich. Business has come. Job, I'm in America. I have 3 jobs, 4 jobs, 5 jobs. The money is rolling in. My paycheck is coming in. Do you know what I earn? 6 figures. It's in your Bible, though. They've done it before. And the Holy Spirit said to them, you think you're wise. He said, you're mad. You are naked. You're crazy. Say, go and buy the real riches. What you are storing here, you leave it and go. Let me tell you something. You know the house you are living in? The house you bought now. Somebody bought it before you came. And you leave it at a point. Somebody else will own it. There's nothing here that belongs to us. I'm telling you, nothing. You see all the money in your bank? One day you leave it and go now. You leave it and it will no more be yours. But those are the things that when we have, that's what Jesus is saying. If you don't love, if you love yourself and all these people more than me, you can't be my disciple. It's not going to happen. It will take your heart away from you. Once the money begins to roll in, we have wonderful reasons. You know, Bible studies, Pastor, I'm trying to, you know, I'm working hard to juggle my time. But when serious bad news comes, they don't juggle time anymore. They want God like a house on fire. There's no juggling of time now. Can't we even learn from simple experience? He said, think back on those early days. How many minutes do I have more? 36. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. It seemed to Jacob like nothing. They loved him. This thing meant nothing to them. Terrible suffering. Look at the next one. Sometimes you were exposed to public what? We're beaten. Sometimes what they said to me in that church, I'm not going to church. You are not serious yet. The devil talks. If you go, he will follow you and talk there too. If you're weaken out, he'll follow everywhere you go. And make sure he talks and talks you out of the kingdom. That's a point when you put your feet down and say, devil, it's me and you here. And so he said, look at that. He said, sometimes you helped other, sorry. Sometimes you were exposed to public what? Ridicule. And we are beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you left the church. Huh? I didn't hear you. You know how many people who have stopped going to church? Because of mundane stuff. I met a woman there. And I'm not kidding. Chris Onyechi is a witness. Obika. She was crying out there. He said, Pastor, I stopped going to church 18 years ago. He said, they did me evil and I stopped going. He said, you walked into my office. He said, something from you touched my heart. I started crying. She was crying out there. He said, what this church did for me, he said, it's amazing. It doesn't come here. It's not even an African. It's not a Nigerian. She was crying right there in public. 18 years hasn't been to church. They did something to me. Love Jesus. Did something to you. Why don't you leave your job when they do something to you too? You won't leave your job. So, well, it's only church we cheat. If we have children, we won't go to church, but we'll go to work. Say, sister, why? I had a baby, but you went to work. I will come here and be dancing. I love you, Lord. God is looking. Say, really? Do you even call me God? Am I really God? You know, words are cheap. God doesn't take words a lot. It takes words sometimes, I don't know, but it takes action more. Action speaks for God more than what we say. Because we are too smart. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with what? With joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Is it not the same Christians we are? Is it not the same Christians we are? Slightest thing we get offended, slightest thing, it doesn't have to be much. So Jesus wanted Peter to know that, Peter, you can't serve me unless you love me either. You can't serve God unless you love him. Jesus said it, I didn't say so. Look at what he did to Peter. I read it here on Thursday. John 21 verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you pray a lot? What did they ask him? Say it yourself. What did they ask him? Do you love me what? More than these. And Peter said unto him, yeah, Lord, you know now that I love thee. Jesus said, I want action. He said unto him, do what? On Thursday, I was saying, do you know how many Sunday school teachers, life center leaders, who don't pray for their students with all their heart? I mean, spend hours seeking God for those souls to know Jesus. Do you know how many? Don't care. Do you know how many people who came to this church this morning didn't even pray for this service? It's not their business. And yet they love Jesus. Not their business. But when they pray, it's about their money, their job, their children, prosperity, God listens. And they say, we love Jesus. You know what the Holy Spirit said? He said Timothy was the only one who cared about the things of Jesus. Others cared about what? Their own. Paul said, they can't find anybody like him. Paul's heart was broken. He couldn't find anybody to hand over this ministry. Yeah, and he said to them, he said, when I go, grievous wolves will come into the church and tear it apart. There is no mature person among you. I think we're going to 2020. We should do away with superfluous Christianity, all this ritualistic Christianity, and get into real business. So, the next verse. So, the next verse, 16 now. Verse, okay, let me read from here. Okay. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, what? Lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said, I want action. I've heard you. Action. Feed my sheep. You love me. How about the church where I put you? Why are you doing extra? If everybody serves me the way you do, you think the church will stay with them? Then he asked him the third time, the same question. You know, when somebody is about to leave this world, he says things that are dear to him. But when Jesus was about to leave, this one prayer he prayed. And the Bible says, he said to God, I've left this world already. I'm not really here anymore. He said, but I'm praying that they should be what? One. They should be what? As you and I are one. It was his desire. It was his utmost desire. Why? He said, because a kingdom divided against itself cannot function. If the body of Christ is divided, it cannot function maximum. The same thing in the family. The same thing in the marriage, in everything. And what the devil is working hard is to divide the church and divide people. And so, all manner of stuff in the man. That's what he's doing. That they should be one, as you and I are one. That was his desire. And when a church, with the body of Christ becomes one, a family that becomes one, they walk under tremendous grace. Because they become a place of habitation for God. Not a divided something. They become a place, a healthy place, where God stays and walks. Look at what happened here. Acts 4:32. All the believers were what? United in heart and mind. And they felt that what they owned was what? Not their own. You see how when you love God, you begin to love man. What they owned was not their own. And they shared everything they had. And then go to verse 24. Let's go to verse 24. That tells us this people best. Verse 24. And they heard the report. All the believers lifted their voices. How? Together in prayer. King James said, in one accord. And they said, O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod, Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, we are all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. Continue. And now, O Lord, hear their threat and give us, your servants, great boldness in... You see their prayer, their desire, that kingdom come, that will be done on earth. That kingdom come, that will be done on earth. Great boldness in preaching your word. Continue. Stretch out your hand with what? Healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Continue. After this prayer, the meeting place did what? How many minutes did this prayer take? That was more than 2 minutes. But grace was upon them because they were united. That's what Jesus wanted. He wanted a united body, a place of his habitation where he can demonstrate his glory. Because a kingdom divided cannot function well. So the meeting place shook and they were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. All the believers were united in heart and mind. And they continue verse 33. The apostles testify powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them. Wherever there is unity, that's the place where God's great grace descends and manifests in the family. That's why find out, husband and wife, what's the greatest problem today is marriage. The devil is attacking homes, trying to divide husband and wife. If husband and wife can know that this is a secret to dwelling in great grace, they will make every effort never to allow anything that will bring poison in their heart. Somebody, I told you how when I was talking to my wife, and I told him, hey, look, Ray, that's awesome. So I bought that one too. So I was talking to my wife, flip this thing. You see this thing? It's trouble. I started to gossip. Don't tell anybody, my friend. You gossip too. So I started to gossip. I said to my wife, I said, I went to Lagos. So. And then, you know, I said, I'm surprised that they were telling me something about so person. He said, stop. He said, stop right there. He said, I don't want to hear it. I said, you know, you're right. He said, my husband, I don't want what? To hear it. He said, from where is this coming? I don't want it. Don't tell me that. They stopped me in my track. And I came back like somebody out of. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. This is wrong. He said, how can you bear that witness against somebody? You were not there. You don't know anything. And yet you are bearing it. You know one thing the Lord told me? He said, if you repeat the gossip, you pay the same price with the person who started it. He said, because it's coming out of your mouth. He said, you pay the same price. He said, don't ever repeat evil things. I told you, let no evil communication come. My wife stopped me in my track. Pam, he said, don't tell me. I don't want to hear. You want to poison my heart? What did he do to you? I stopped. Came back to my senses. Husband and wife, don't hear any false thing about your wife or your husband. I don't care who is telling you. They can be your brothers, your senior brother, your junior brother, your most junior brother, and the other most senior. Once they start talking about your wife, tell them to what? Stop! My wife. We have internal memo. Leave us because you can't divide us. The devil is always trying to divide. Check what I'm telling you now. Make your children hate you, make this one hate this person, talk, get angry, and all this anger, and don't try to divide and divide and divide. He knows that if you can, Jesus said that they may be what? One. So that they be a place where I can manifest great grace. Divided body is not a place I can, I'm not a God of confusion. So how can we be one? Look at it right here. Colossians 3:14. New Living Translation. Above all, what? Above all. No, don't go there. Let's do the first one. Above all. What is above all? More than everything else. Remember what we started now? The goal, purpose of my teaching is love. Above all, clothe yourself with what? Love. Which does what? Binds all together in perfect. You see why the love of God, Jesus, you need this thing. You got to live in it. Because that's what we bind. Love does not hear evil. Love does not keep record of wrong. Love does no evil to his neighbor. Man, this is amazing. So my wife stopped me now. If my wife sees that pastor, there is nothing in her that the devil will stir. I remember the devil is a liar. So he's the one spreading all these things about that beautiful pastor in Lagos. She didn't hear it. So there's nothing in her the devil will go and stir. And may not know, but the devil will be walking on it, and firing it. Praise the Lord. One time, my children asked me, they told me something, and I will tell you. They said to me, they said, Daddy, what? Many years ago, they said, why should we really marry? He said, when we go to church, we see husband and wife, they don't walk together. He said, the man is in front, and the woman And they say, we look at their faces, they're not smiling. So why should we get into that thing they're not happy in? They were asking us when they were little, many years back. I didn't have an answer. Believe you me, a lot of families are divided. They may not say so, but there's resentment where, because of what somebody has done somewhere along the line, forgiveness shouldn't be hard if we walk in the love of God. Why we're not all forgiving? Praise the Lord. Am I communicating? Okay. And then, how do I love Jesus? How do I come to love Jesus so that this love will walk in my heart? Do you know the man that mentored me, he said something, and the thing really blessed me. He said, if I ever get sick or my prayer is not working, he said, the first place I'll check is not the devil. I check my love life. That's where I go. He said, because most problems come from there. If you are here next Sunday, I will show you how you can't know God unless you love. It's not going to happen. I will show you, by God's grace, from Scripture, you see there. How the Scripture told you the first thing is the love, then this will come, and then this will come. I will show you. So, but how do we love God? How do we come to love God? Luke 7:47. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins which are what? Many are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Jesus said, because she saw that a lot of sin was forgiven her, she loved much. But somebody who thinks that little was forgiving him does not love God much. That's what my Oga was writing, was sending us. He said that the love of God is revealed by what Jesus did for us on the cross. What he did for us on the cross. Do you know what love it takes? Brethren, do you know what love it takes? Do you know what love it takes? Please look up here. Do you know what love it takes for God to die for you and die for me? Do you know the tremendous love it takes for God to come down here on earth and let human beings kill his son so that we'll not end up in hell? Do you know how much love it takes? Do you know that was why John said, what manner of love, what is this? That we should be called sons of God. Because we were headed to hell. We were children of the devil. For the fact that God came and delivered us from where we were certainly going, John said, what manner of love is this? That instead of being children of the devil, instead of heading to hell, that here I am now called son. And Paul will not stop talking about Jesus dying for us on the cross. It was everything to this man. It was everything to him because he knew where this one, where our lives were going. I mean, if you were going to be in terrible accident, if you were really going to be in terrible accident and somebody risks his life to pull you out of there, how grateful will you be? You will be so grateful. You will love the person. But if you think that the person, what did he do after all? You won't love because you don't see what he did. Brethren, I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, look at the cross and see the love of God for you. It's right there. That's why Jesus fought your battles for you. He took on sin, took on the devil, took on the flesh, took on hell, took on judgment, took on everything for me. For me. So that I don't have to take them. Everything fell on him. Somebody shout hallelujah. You cannot know the love of God unless you are focused on Jesus. And the Holy Spirit told us, look unto what? Jesus. Now, there are many things we can look on. There are so many things we can look on. And the Bible says, love not the world and the things that what? We can look at them. We can focus on the world. We can focus on what is happening. We can focus on my job. I can focus on my job. And I focus on my job. And I focus on my business. And I focus on this. And I think, whoa, this is from where my problem is being solved. There are many things I can focus on. But the Bible says, if you love the world, the fashions of this world, and the things that are in the world, then the love of the Father is not going to work in you. Why will you know the love of the Father? You are not looking, you are not, is it not what you look, who can help me here? Who else can help me? Is there anybody who can help me? Onyeka, come. Onyeka, come. I paid your ticket to America. Come faster. I was the one that brought you here. In fact, you are refunding me that ticket. See Onyeka, right? I'm looking at him, right? I'm looking at him, right? Do I see anything behind me? I'm asking. So what am I seeing? If I'm focusing on the world, focusing on the things of the world, fashions of the world, the hairdo of the world, all the achievements of this world, I want to have 10 degrees, 24 degrees, 10 jobs, and everything, I will never see the love of God. It's not going to happen. But the day I try to, now I'm reversing this rule, now you are Jesus. No, you are not Jesus, my friend. Just now, he said, now you are Jesus. Now, I used to look this way before. And I used to look this way. And the Bible said, look unto what? And I turn around and I start to look at him. The light from him begins to illuminate me. And he that has eyes to see, he's the light of the world. He lightens every man, comes into this world. As I look at him, the light from Jesus begins to illuminate my eyes. And what do I see? I see the love of God. I don't see Jesus as natural anymore. I see who he is. Paul said, the cross was made so clear to you that you like you saw Jesus on the cross. And the more I look at him, the more I see him, the more I see what he did, the more he's important to me, the more he's relevant to me. And you find why the songwriter said, I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour. He saw something. What are you looking at? The author and finisher. Look at your troubles. You look at your troubles. You can't love God there. It's not going to come. You look at yourself, you can't love God there. All the things you do, you can't love God there. The only thing that reveals it is what God did. It's right here. Right here. Right here. As important as what we do is, tell me one thing you do that is perfect. Point one. Show me one. Tell me one thing you do that is what? I want to know it. That you brag before God about. Your prayer is not perfect. The Holy Spirit says so. He says you don't know how to pray. So what do we do that's perfect? Our knowledge is limited. What do you do that is perfect? The only perfect thing is what God does. He is the perfect one. Perfect one. The perfect one. Jesus, the perfect work of God. You look unto him. The Holy Spirit illuminates your eyes. The one that lightens everybody. You look at him. This way they say so. You don't hear them. Read the Old Testament. He said, who is deaf like my servant? You don't hear them. You are hearing something. You are seeing glory. You are seeing awesome glory. You are seeing mercy. You are seeing grace. You are seeing, you shout, what love is this? That I shall be called Son of God. God bless you. Pastor, you can finish this thing for me. I'm so emotional, please.